Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're in the midst of training camp, and to talk about the Packers, we're continuing our series featuring the writers at PocketDoppler.com. We have joining us from across the pond all the way in the UK, we have Stephen Kilby joining us this morning. Stephen, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. It's glad to have you joining us. Now, Stephen lives in London. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, just on the outskirts of London, yeah.
Okay, now Stephen is actually a motorsports journalist over in the UK and blogs occasionally about the Packers at PocketDoppler.com. But for our listeners here, Stephen, how does somebody from the UK become a Packers fan?
It's kind of a strange story, really, as I suppose most people over here. It would be. I started watching ice hockey actually in 2005, I think, when I was 10. And just from watching the broadcasts on that, they mention, you know, NFL games coming up on the same channels or whatever that you're watching. And I just decided to give it a go. So I watched Super Bowl 40, Super Bowl Extra Large with the Steelers and Seahawks, which was an awful game. And I just, for some reason, liked it, even though it was an absolutely awful game. There was something about football I just connected with more than I did with sports over here. I didn't really ever get on with soccer or cricket or rugby. And it's just, you know, there's something about football, I think, you know, the physicality of it and the strategy involved that, I mean, when I finally learnt the rules a couple of years later and after I first started watching the Packers back in 2006, I just became more and more of a fan, really. And it's sort of grown to become an obsession, really, watching American sports.
So, I mean, you're rather young, now you actually cover motorsports in the UK. What does that all entail? What do you do there? Who do you do it for?
I write for dailysportscar.com. It's a website which covers GT racing, which like endurance racing. So, I cover events that last like 24 hours long and stuff like the Le Mans 24 hours and the Sebring 12 hours in America and things like that. And I mostly cover things around Europe with them, just sort of writing live at events. So I'd be doing interviews and live blogging and that sort of stuff. And also do it in the name of Nissan because I started writing a year and a half ago about sports cars on the internet for free. And they sort of picked me up and ended up putting me on their websites, which they sponsor. And so I just started doing that, really. And it sort of grown to become quite a passion, writing overall. And I head to uni in September to do sports journalism. And I'm hoping that when I leave uni, I'll be able to do it as a full-time career.
Well, very cool. Now, I also want to hear the story about you coming to Lambeau Field last year, because you did come, I believe it was the Packers-Saints game, and I think you did write about it at PocketDoppler.com, but tell us a little bit about that journey.
It was absolutely amazing. I mean, it was probably the best weekend of my life. I can honestly say that. I mean, I used to get asked all the time, you know, how many times you go over to the States, and because I support five different teams in the States at all different places, and people could never believe that I'd never been before. And then to last year finally save up enough money to be able to go to Wisconsin was just an unbelievable experience to just say I'd been over to see the Packers play. And it was the whole area, I think, that was just absolutely amazing and made it such an unforgettable weekend for me and my dad when we travelled there. I think we've never been anywhere that's so friendly and so engrossed in sports. I mean, I live pretty close to the soccer team, Tottenham Hotspur, and they're if you know, they're a big club in the Premier League over here. You wouldn't know that you're living nearby. Whereas when you're in Green Bay, everyone's got flags and everyone's talking about the Packers all the time. And it's more of a way of life and it's more of a family atmosphere. And I just think when I came over there and the atmosphere at the stadium was just fantastic. All the people were just really nice at the tailgate. And And it was an absolutely amazing game as well. If you remember it being a 28-27 game, which helped the crowd noise, I think, a lot. And also the Hail Mary being the week before just made the whole atmosphere just electric. And it's actually inspired me and my dad to go back this year.
So, what game are you coming to?
We're going to do week two against the Redskins this year. First home game of the year. Absolutely can't wait.
Well, I hope you have a great time. I didn't know that, so that you should be in for a good one. The home opener, RG3. Are you excited to see that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I only started watching college football a few years back, and I sort of caught the tail end of Robert Griffin's college career at Baylor, and I'm really excited to see him play. I really enjoy watching sort of young talent like that, but I'm more excited really to see the renovations at Lambeau Field and how it affects the crowd noise and just being there for the home opener. I think that's going to be a special occasion, right?
Yes, no doubt about it. I assume it has to be the travel has to be a little bit of difficulty getting to a place like Green Bay, which, even for people in America, that's kind of an outpost. Where do you fly into? Do you fly into Chicago? How many flights does it take to get here?
Well, last year and this year as well, we've flew into Minneapolis and did
Okay.
a Minnesota Twins game last year, and we're going to do a Brewers game this year on our way. We're going to fly into after we fly into Minneapolis, we're going to watch a Twins game and then fly out the next morning to Milwaukee and drive down to Green Bay from there. Catch
Okay.
Brewers game, I think, as well.
Yes. Very
But it's
nice.
about what it's about 8 hour flight and then. And then, the extra time on the internal flight. So it's a long journey, but it's well worth it.
Okay. Now I assume you're probably waiting for the Packers to take part in the annual international game every year. Though I think they're actually playing two this year for the first time over in London. Are you kind of been waiting for that, waiting for the Packers to take part in this international series, I think they call it?
If it's a Packers away game, yes. I mean, I really don't want the Packers to play miss a home game to come to London. I think it'd be too much of a loss of an advantage, and I think to take away a home game for all the loyal fans in Green Bay would be a pretty bad thing, really. I'd rather obviously see the Packers play in Wisconsin, but I think it would save me a bit of money if the Packers came over and played in London. It's a different atmosphere, and I'm sure a lot of people would travel over maybe. So it'd be quite an interesting way to see a Packers game. But I mean, I go every year to the games in London just to get some live football before I was able to get to the States, which is really good to see. So I'm going to keep going, whatever happens, whatever teams come over. I just hope that the Packers don't miss any home games, really.
Yeah, I think you really ingratiated yourself to Packers fans because that's kind of the feeling here. They don't want to give up the home game. They don't want to give up all the revenue that comes with hosting a home game, all the money they make and just the advantage in general. So I think that's kind of the feeling. But I don't think anybody here would mind going to a road game in London someday.
Yeah, I mean, it would. It, I think even if they were played as the away team, I think people would come over. But I just sort of feel I'd feel horrible watching the Packers play a home game in London on neutral field, because I just sort of think all the people live in Green Bay, where there's not like tons of other sports teams. I mean, you've got the Green Bay Gamblers, I think, but it's not like bigger cities like New York where you've got other things to watch. I think it's that 8 times a year where people there get to enjoy Packers football, and I think it should stay there.
Yes, no doubt about it. There's not too much else in town, at least at a high level of sports. So let's talk a little bit about the current goings on here in Green Bay, though, Stephen. I think people want to hear about what's happening at training camp. Yesterday, quarterback Aaron Rodgers missed practice due to illness. What was your reaction when you first heard Aaron Rodgers was missing practice?
Well, I think I wasn't as worried as some people. I think I was coming back from a run, and my dad sort of came up to me and showed me a tweet from Jason Wilde saying, "Oh, this is the list of all the people who didn't go out to practice today, and Aaron Rodgers was at the top in block capitals." And I think my dad was more worried than me. I just sort of thought, "Oh, maybe he's either ill or they're giving him the day off." I think ultimately he's a veteran. It's not. And if anything, resting his body for a day would probably do him a bit of good. So I'm not panicked, not yet.
Yeah, certainly, no doubt about it. He's just missed because of a head cold, and is expected to be back today. So I don't think it's any too big of a deal. But I think it sent people into a little bit of a frenzy when they first heard about it yesterday. You mentioned last year you saw the Saints game, the game after the fail Mary against the Seahawks. Well, the Packers play the Seahawks this week in the preseason. Does that kind of get you excited, the facing the team that they went and lost to last year?
Oh, it definitely does. I think for a preseason game, I think it's definitely going to be exciting. I'm a bit nervous, though, to be honest. I mean, preseason games too, I mean, they're meaningless. I like seeing some of the young talent, but I just sit there panicking about injuries. And I think this game has the potential to be a grudge match. And I really don't want anyone to get injured in a preseason game against Seahawks, as much as I'd like to destroy Pete Carroll and Golden Tate. And pretty much everyone who plays for the Seahawks and beat them by a few touchdowns, I'd rather conserve our players. So I don't know. Half of me is excited, and the other half of me is a bit complacent.
Yeah, it is an interesting matchup, an interesting scenario, in that it's just a preseason game, but I think the tensions will kind of be high regardless. But I wanted to ask you one other thing, Stephen. I've heard, the game's over in London. Whenever there's a field goal, an extra point, that really gets the fans over there excited, because it's the one aspect of American football that they kind of relate to. It's kind of similar to soccer, similar to rugby a little bit, that you see a little bit of kicking. Do you find that to be the case?
Honestly, until you said that, I had never noticed. The
Okay.
bit it's a really weird I can honestly say the atmosphere at a game in London on a neutral field, because I mean I've been to my fair share and been to other sports as well when the NBA's come over here and NHL. Because everyone supports different teams, it provides a really weird atmosphere because no one
True.
really knows who to cheer for. I mean, most people cheer for the home team unless you kind of are rivals with the team who's playing at home. But the biggest reaction we get at Wembley Stadium is when the red zone comes on and the Cowboys are losing.
So that's the biggest reaction. Well,
Yeah,
anyway,
everyone boo.
I was trying to relate it here to the Packers' current competition at kicker. Who do you think will come away with the job? We're getting down to the end. They're going to make a choice soon. Will it be Mason Crosby? Will it be Giorgio Tavecchio?
Oh, it's hard. I mean, I'd like to take Ryan Longwell. I think Crosby's gonna win it. He's kind of got to. If I think we should have a fresh start of the kicking game personally, with a new face completely outside of those two, because I think the kicker position to me is something I don't ever want to worry about. If we get the kicker, I don't want to be sitting there panicking like I was last year because Crosby was only kicking 64%. But I think this is Crosby's job to lose. I think he'll get it, and I think this will be his last chance. I think if he has a season like last year, he'll probably be gone halfway through the year or something like that, but towards the end of the year. I just don't quite trust Tavecchio yet. I think he's young, and from what I've seen, he's missed the odd field goal here and there like Crosby has, but I want experience if we get into the playoffs. I don't want to be praying for a field goal to win the game with a rookie kicker.
Well, Stephen, before I let you go, do you have a season prediction for the Packers? Maybe what their record will be or how far they'll go in the playoffs?
I was thinking about this, and I was actually talking to a couple of friends yesterday about it, and I ultimately think it's going to be another 11-5 season. I think we're going to come out week one, and I think we're going to need some time to adjust with the amount of changes we've had. I think we're going to get absolutely hammered by the 49ers, and I think throughout the year we'll probably lose to the Vikings once, the Giants, the Falcons, and
Steven, are you still there? I may have lost you. Hello, Steven? I must have lost Steven. Well, even if we did, I apologize. Our interview was coming to a close regardless. So I'm glad we could have Steven on as much as possible. And by the way, once again, Stephen, coming to us courtesy of PocketDoppler.com. Interesting to get the international perspective. Stephen actually living in the UK, young kid, just becoming an adult, 18 years old, in university, but in his spare time actually covers motorsports over in the UK. Good to hear his perspective, and I encourage you to go read all the work from everybody at PocketDoppler.com as we kind of continue the series of having their writers join us on the show. Just talk a little football here on Railbird Central. So glad to have him, but we'll continue our discussion here of the Packers, and you know, maybe I'll try to pick up where Stephen left off on a season prediction for the Packers. I am kind of in the same area as him. I think you're looking at a season in which the Packers will be somewhere around 11-5. I guess that would be my official prediction right now, if forced to guess, would be 11-5. And I don't know. I still have a few weeks left. Here, Stephen's calling, and maybe we'll just say goodbye to him. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
No problem. We kind of got cut off, but before I let you go, give me your season prediction for the Packers.
We're going to go 11-5 this year after thinking about it for a while yesterday. I think we're going to lose the 49ers week one because I just think our team's got so many new pieces. We're just going to need that bit of time to adjust, really. I think we're going to lose to the Vikings, Giants, Falcons and Steelers across the year. And I think that's a product of a really early bye week. I think it worries me how early our bye week is this year. So I think when we go up against the teams who have bye weeks in like week 7, week 8, and we've got to play such tough teams, we're going to stumble a bit. When we get to the playoffs, I think we're going to probably lose in the championship game. I think we're going to get further than that's what's going to happen.
You bring up a good point because that bye week does come. I think it's the first bye week in the entire NFL the Packers have. But, Stephen, I want to thank you for joining us on Railbird Central this morning. We definitely appreciate you talking to us all the way from across the pond. So best of luck to you, and thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Brian, and good luck with the rest of the podcast.
All right, thanks a lot. Stephen Kilby of the UK of PocketDoppler.com joining us here at Railbird Central. Glad to get his perspective and glad to have him joining us. Just kind of continuing, and I think Stephen just did make a very good point. Packers have the earliest bye week in the NFL this year, I believe. It comes in, what is it, week 4? So they play the first 3 weeks of the season, and then week number 4, they have off. So it comes really early this year, and you know, in a way that can kind of be an advantage for those guys who are maybe kind of dealing with injuries now. You think about Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Tramon Williams, those kind of guys. Maybe the early bye week helps them, but over the course of the season, you know, that bye week comes early, then it's just a grind week in and week out, and I don't know, maybe that'll really motivate the Packers to have a good record so they get the bye the first week of the playoffs. They actually get another bye week. They could use it then, no doubt about it. By the time the playoffs come around in January and they've played football for, what is it, you know, 13 consecutive weeks, they'll definitely be looking forward to a bye at that time. So maybe that'll really motivate them to do well. But, just kind of looking at the schedule, I think the Packers do have a rather kind of tough schedule this year, some tough road games that they'll have to deal with. So, and no doubt about it, it is going to be tough this year, but for the time being though, we're still in the midst of training camp. We are preparing for a game against the Seattle Seahawks, this week, the Green Bay Packers are, and it is kind of interesting. As you know, if you know anything about football, it just seems to be tradition The third preseason game is always kind of the most important. It is your warm-up for the regular season. It's the game the starters play the most. They usually play into the third quarter. I mean, a few different teams take different approaches, but most of them, and the Packers under Mike McCarthy, have done it this way for years, kind of taking that third preseason game the most seriously in that they play the starters the most. And you're going to see that this is the opportunity to see Aaron Rodgers, to see the first-string offense, the first-string defense out there most of the game, the majority of the time. Not to say that the backups don't get playing time. They will. I mean, you're talking about most of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter they'll be out there. But at least you're seeing the starters for most of the first half and then usually into the second half a little bit. And you know, this week facing the Seahawks, this is going to be a great test. And by all means, please read the article that Zach Cruz just posted here at CheeseheadTV.com. In fact, if you scroll to the bottom of our screen that you're currently on at Cheesehead TV, where it says our most recent post, go ahead and click that article how Zach explains how it's a great warm-up for the San Francisco 49ers in week one. I mean, just, you know, the obvious, they're two NFC West opponents there's just the similarity there, but they're rather similar in many ways. I mean, on offense, they're led by these mobile quarterbacks. I mean, they're not entirely the same. But, you know, of course, the Packers will be preparing for Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers in week one. Kaepernick, obviously, you know, tore the Packers to shreds in their playoff matchup last year. And you know, now they face Russell Wilson, who, you know, maybe isn't quite as good as runner as Colin Kaepernick, but still a very mobile quarterback, a guy who can make plays on the run. A guy who can throw on the run. That might be one of the most impressive things about Russell Wilson, actually. His ability to throw on the run, I think, is really impressive. And saying that has made him a good quarterback dating back to his college days. But yeah, so that'll be a good test there. And then on the flip side, on defense, you know, both the San Francisco and Seattle defenses are both really, really fantastic. They are both very aggressive. I just think that'll be a good test facing a good defense like that. And then how will the Packers do against them and then subsequently against the 49ers and their good defense? I do almost think a little bit to an extent that it's almost the back seven, that's the strength for Seattle, their secondary, especially, whereas with San Francisco, it's the front seven. It's the defensive line and linebackers that I think are their strength. But regardless, a good defense all around, and a good defense is good defense no matter how you shape it up. So definitely a good test there for the Packers as they go into week one and get ready to face the 49ers in San Francisco, a road game. Well, this game will be at home, but good test regardless. So getting excited for that. Today, the Packers have their last practice before the Seattle Seahawks. So training camp practice today, it is open to the public. It starts at 11 o'clock a.m. today. And they are expecting Aaron Rodgers to be back. Aaron Rodgers, of course, if you haven't heard, He missed practice yesterday with what is Mike McCarthy eventually described to be a head cold. So I thought it was kind of fun. We took it and ran with it on Twitter. I think a lot of people in that, you know, all of a sudden you hear the reports he's missing. And you know, there was nothing right away like any report is he injured or what happened? You had no clue. So kind of forced to fill in the blanks yourselves. But it turns out to be nothing. Just has a head cold. They gave him the day off, which, you know, for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's in his ninth year in the NFL, I think the occasional day off isn't necessarily a bad thing anyway. It gave the backups an opportunity, actually, to work some with the starters, which is good for them. you know, Graham Harrell, Vince Young, for them to see playing time. They don't get to see playing time with the starters. They don't get to work behind that first string offensive line. They don't get to throw the ball to the first string wide receivers like James Jones and JerMichael Finley. You know, they're in there working with the backups. They're there behind working the second string offensive line, which certainly isn't as good. They're working with the backup receivers who certainly aren't as good. So, you know, you kind of take all those things. It was a good opportunity for them to get some playing time. Heck, I even think it'd be great for Graham Harrell to get a series with the starters this upcoming game against the Seahawks. I don't really know if that's the way the Packers are going to operate, if Mike McCarthy would ever do something like that. But I do think it would be beneficial. Heck, you might see Graham Harrell or Vince Young, either one of them, you might see their play elevated, you know, better than what they've shown already. If all of a sudden you're playing with the first string, you know, when the level of those around you is higher, your level, your playing level seems to come up as well. As what is it that the what's the saying? The high tide brings up all ships. I know there's some sort of you know, saying here. A rising tide lifts all ships. Is that it? That you know, I think that's kind of how it goes with Graham Harrell and Vince Young, and could be you know, be beneficial for them to get some time with the first string offense. We'll see if that happens. I'm not holding my breath. But anyway, it is the final preseason game. Also, before the Packers have to make their cuts, their first round of cuts. It doesn't have to happen until August 31st, which is actually next Tuesday. So the game comes on Friday, and you know, so they have, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. They actually have 3 days then before they have to make their cuts. But by Tuesday, August 31st at the latest, they have to make that decision and get down to 75 players. So that they'll be going from 90 to 75. So they got to cut 15 players after this game. So, you know, it's kind of a last opportunity for many of these guys to make a final impression and really, you know, stake out their claim to a roster spot, even if it's just for another week. But, you know, many of them trying to make the 53-man roster as well. So the Packers are going to be cutting 15 players after this game. And I guess, you know, there will be some exceptions made in that, you know, they'll gain one roster spot just simply by putting Brian Bulaga on injured reserve. So they don't really have to cut 15. You know, they go ahead and they make a move like that. Brian Bulaga will be put on injured reserve by then. And so that's, you know, one extra spot. They only have to cut 14. I'm not sure if anybody else is a candidate for injured reserve, but that's one way they kind of save one roster spot at least for the final week of the preseason at least. So anyway, the Packers getting ready for the Seahawks this weekend. Today is the last day of training camp practice, and we'll see kind of this kicking competition come to a close too. I do think the Packers will cut a kicker after this game. I don't think they're going to let this competition go to week four of the preseason. I don't think there's really anything to be gained by it. I think they want that kicker, whoever they choose, and I think it will be Mason Crosby, but I think they'll want him to get all the reps in the final preseason game, give him the final opportunity, the final tune-up to get all the reps, all the extra points, all the field goals, all the kickoffs. That'll be good work for him. And by cutting a kicker, they'll save a, you know, a roster spot for somebody else in that final preseason game. Because remember, the final preseason game, they go back to the starters not playing much again. And then you're looking at the backups to kind of play out the rest of the game. And you know, they need that. They're going to need somebody else on the roster to take those snaps. So you don't have guys that are important having to play that final preseason game. You don't have guys out there who are exposed to injury then. So that's why they'll cut a kicker this week. We will see that competition come to a close. So This will be an important one for Mason Crosby, for Giorgio Tavecchio. I'm not counting anybody out yet, but you know, who knows? I mean, this will be an important one here, and you know, if a kicker goes and misses two field goals this week, that could spell the end of them. We will see. But anyway, it's now 9 o'clock here at Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I appreciate Stephen Kilby of PocketDoppler.com joining us on the show. Thanks to Jamie Jors for her work on the live blog. We'll see you later, folks, and we'll be back on Friday. In fact, Friday will be the 300th episode of Railbird Central. 300 shows we've been on. It's been a while. So excited to do that. But we'll be back on Friday. Make sure to come back for and see us at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. We'll see you later, folks. Enjoy following along with practice today. On behalf of Jamie Stone and I'm Brian Carvu, I leave you today with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.